bringing greetings from Straight Gate Ministries, which is my personal outreach ministry that would have been going since back in 99, roughly. And we do outreach ministry in the prisons and shelters. And bringing greetings also from the Dickerson Memorial Community Church, where I'm honored at this time to serve as assistant pastor under Reverend Harold Jeffries, who is our senior pastor. And I thank the Lord for him. He's been a great influence in my ministry. I want to give reverence to God and honor to Pastor Ward. I look up to him highly. He's a good shepherd. And I thank God for men of his stature. And also Brother Levels and the Bartlett's who are here. I've been knowing them indirectly for some time. And Spencer Bartlett is a very good friend of mine, as Pastor mentioned. And he came out of a good church. So I thank God for new prospect in general. 51 years of serving the Lord. That's an excellent legacy. And so just thank the Lord for being a part of this service today. And all of the rest of you who are here, my brothers and sisters in Christ, see a lot of young sheep in the house, lambs and sheep, and that's always a good thing, because I can imagine that one day Spencer Barker was probably one of the lambs and coming on up, and now he's the minister of the gospel. And so being under good leadership such as Pastor Ward, that's what you get. Good shepherds beget good shepherds, if you will. And that succession has gone on since, for some time, throughout the history of the church. And so I also like to acquaint you with our website. The website for Straight Gate Ministries is online at teachingbible.org. That's where we post messages from some of the outreach that we do. And so I'd like to have you make note of that. We had some of these copies of our lesson here. Or if anyone is would like to have a copy yourself to follow along with the teaching this morning, you may do that. Make them available. And otherwise, these lessons are also posted on the website at teachingbible.org. And so we pray that you will visit the website when you just want to go somewhere and study a little bit more. Preferably, that's how you have chosen to live your life. That's what I have done. I've been a student of the Lord, and I continue to be a student of the Lord. And that goes on throughout all of your Christian life. And it is a blessing. Also, was noticing this morning that Brother Duane back there had went right into the B part of the text that's going to be on our lesson today. It's amazing to me how God does those kind of things. He lets you know, he confirms things by situations and conditions in your life. Have you noticed that? That's something I love about the Lord. He'll give you confirmation that you're on the right track. And our text today is coming from the A part of the chapter that he read for the devotionals this morning. So I thank God for that. I had a great time here in fellowship in the Sunday school this morning. And just a blessing to be here. Just want to thank God for each and every one of you. Now, one thing I learned from Elder Ward some time ago, I think it was him who I heard say that the key to preaching is hurry up, get up, speak up, and shut up. You may have heard him say that before. And I remember that. That's something I remember he told me. And so I've used that as a motto. I want to get said what the Lord has given me for you. And not that I intend to be brief or anything. I like to be thorough with the word, because the word is excellent things. But we will try to not prolong the time here today any longer than necessary. 51 years in ministry is an awesome thing. And see, sometimes I think we are somewhat padded in the way we think about who we are in Jesus Christ. And that was one thing the Spirit spoke to me as I sat here this morning, is that he instructed me that I should encourage you to be bold in the Lord. See, a lot of times the stuff we go through in the world puts a cover over us. It tries to suppress us, press us down, and that's just the spirit of the world. But you and I are overwhelmingly more than conquerors, the Bible says, through him who loved us. You see that? And so we have a tendency to tone it down because we get battered and kicked around and talked about and persecuted, as we mentioned this morning in the Sunday school lesson. And so sometimes we tone back and we say, well, we'll just put a cover over it, like Jeremiah saying, I'm not going to speak no more in your name. It's too much trouble. Going through too much trouble, Lord, I have to shut up. And then he said he found out it was like fire shut up in his bones. And he couldn't keep his mouth from speaking the truth of the Lord. And see, so we have to be like that. Sometimes the world tries to suppress us. But let's go ahead and get into the text before I go too far afield here this morning. Well, I'd like to call your attention to an Old Testament text, which is found in the book of Isaiah, chapter 64. If you have a copy of the lesson, you'll see it there. Starting at the very first verse, Isaiah 64. Then you may put a bookmark also in 2 Corinthians or 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And we'll start there for a New Testament reading. And we'll start right at verse 1 for the Old Covenant reading. Isaiah 64 and 1. Oh, that thou wouldst rend the heavens, that thou wouldst come down, that the mountains might flow down at thy presence. As when the melting fire burneth, the fire causeth the waters to boil, to make thy name known to thine adversaries, that the nations may tremble at thy presence. When thou didst terrible things which we looked not for, thou camest down, the mountains flowed down at thy presence. For since the beginning of the world, men have not heard, nor perceived by the ear, neither hath the eye seen, O God, beside thee, what he hath prepared for him that waiteth for him. Thou meetest him that rejoiceth and worketh righteousness. Those that remember thee in thy ways, behold, thou art wroth, for we have sinned. In those is continuance, and we shall be saved. But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. And there is none that calleth upon thy name, that stirreth up himself to take hold of thee, for thou hast hid thy face from us, and has consumed us because of our iniquities. But now, O Lord, thou art our Father, we are the clay, and thou art our potter, and we all are the work of thy hands. Be not wroth very sore, O Lord, neither remember iniquity forever. Behold, see, we beseech thee, we are all thy people. We have read Isaiah 64. Verses 1 through 9, may God add a blessing to the reading and the hearing of the Old Testament text. And now for the reading of the New Testament text, we have 2 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 4, verse 1. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We have read 2 Corinthians 4, 1 to 7. May God add a blessing to the reading and the hearing of his holy word. Let us pray. Everlasting God, we bless you, we praise you. We thank you today, Father, for your word. We thank you for the spirit that you have given. Oh, God, we thank you for the church, the pillar in the ground of the truth. We thank you, Father, that you have called us into this fellowship, Lord, and that you know the reason why you organized this meeting this morning. Father, we pray today that by the grace that is in Jesus Christ, you would reveal it to each of us, give us individual marching orders, encourage each and every heart and life, touch every mind, heal every sickness, every disease. Whatever the purpose is, oh God, that you have sent us today, that we would be here today to fellowship together, we pray that it be manifested right now. We ask it in the righteous name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Give us ears to hear and a heart to understand.
Yes.
And we'll be careful to give all the praise, the honor, and glory to the name of your Holy Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. It is in his name that we pray, and the whole church say it together. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. We thank God for this gathering here today. I'd like to use the topic of hidden in the house of God.
Uh-huh.
Amen. That may sound a little ominous, but we'll try to break it down. Hidden in the house of God.
Uh-huh.
We find that what we operate with as we go about our daily lives, those of us who have trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ, is that we have received a revelation of a mystery, something that's concealed from people who do not believe. So the very relationship that we have with God is the basis of something that the Bible calls a mystery. The word mystery in the Greek is mysterion, and it means something that must be revealed by the Spirit of God.
Yes.
And so salvation comes as the result of a revelation from God the Holy Spirit. No preacher, no ritual, no any of those kind of things that go on saves anybody. Paul said that to the church at Corinth that basically we one plants and another waters, but it's God who gives the increase. And the whole world is that way. I want to just call your attention to so many things in the creation are also like that. Like, do we understand why when you throw seeds in the ground, and they get in there with dirt, and it rains on them, and they grow, and they produce plants? We know it does that, but we don't understand how that works, do we? There's a lot of mystery involved in many things, and things that are hidden that scientists, with all their knowledge, all their computers, cannot understand. And so rather than giving glory to God, like we do when we come and the cover is opened up and we can understand that there is a God who is righteous, who is holy, who has created all things, the heavens and the earth, the sea and everything that is in them, you know, and he opens up the cover for me and you to have faith and trust in him, then we can see some things that cannot otherwise be seen. And it's only when you come by faith that you have the capability to see things that are hidden. And now this goes on outside the church in the world, but it also goes on in the church. And this is the thing that I thought was very interesting. So I wanted to talk about some of the things that are hidden in the house of God. Right here in your own fellowship, there are some powerful things. Like, who would ever have thought? I wonder, did a brother and sister Bartlett think that their son would become a minister one day by hearing the word of God and sitting under the leadership of Elder Ward? You see, I don't know if they did, but they saw it unfold. God unfolded it for them. And the next thing you know, it took place. It was something that happened in a process of time. Many other things in your life, things that you thought, like habits that you may have had that you thought you'd never get rid of, you find out God knows a way to bring you around to the place where you can deal with that thing and put it behind you and give him the glory. And it doesn't happen like that anymore. I think every Christian can testify of the fact that God gets involved in your life, and somehow something you thought was insurmountable, you have a way now, and you can deal with it. And you can keep on pressing. You can move forward because of the grace of God. You don't even know how it happened. I'm a living witness myself. I had a struggle and tangle with drugs early in my life as a young man. And I had no idea what a mess it was. One day, and I had been brought up in a godly home. I was brought up with my grandparents two generations back. My father and mother loved the Lord, brought us up in the church. And somehow, well, what happened? Let me just give you a brief synopsis here. My grandparents died when I was at the age of 9 in 1965. One died one part of the year, and toward the end of the year, the other one died. They were the ones who kind of anchored us to the church. My mom and dad had been separated. This is probably not an uncommon story. And so I lived with my dad. And he had to work. He worked to support the kids who stayed with him. Some of the kids went and stayed with my mom. And we were in two different states. So my anchoring to the church was diminished. I always believed in God. I was taught to do that from a child. But there got to be a time when I wasn't anchored to the church. And as I became an adolescent, I started to slip away from the things of God. And next thing you know, one thing led to another. I ended up leaving home at the age of 17, got out into the streets, did finish high school, but got out in the streets and the world moved right into the vacuum that was in my life. Next thing you know, I don't blame the world. It was my fault. I was doing what I wanted to do. You see what I'm saying? Next thing you know, I was on a slippery slope and things were not good. It started to go downhill quick. And somewhere when I got in really the depths of my trouble, just not to bore you with what all happened in those years of this fellowship with God. When I was out there on His mercy, not thinking about Him at all, something came to me when I was in serious trouble and said, you know, the only one that can help you is the Lord. That thought popped in my mind.
Right.
It had been planted there years ago.
Yes, sir.
You see? And you know what I said? I said, well, you need to call on the Lord. I called on the Lord. It surprised the daylights out of me. He heard
it. Right.
And He started to fix my life from that moment forward. He was waiting on me like the prodigal son, like the father sitting on the porch, waiting on him to come up the road. He said, I might as well leave him alone till he gets it in his heart that he wants to do right.
Uh-huh.
When he gets it in his heart, then I can rejoice and kill the fatted calf.
Right.
You see? And so he was waiting on me to say, hey, this is not good, Lord. I don't like how things are going.
Right.
See? And when he saw me turn, make that turn in my heart, because one had planted, another had watered, he gave the increase, bought me out of the drugs, and started working on my life.
Right.
Now, I had no idea where it was heading at that point.
Right.
I just knew that I still had trouble. I had to go to court.
Right.
And go through all kinds of stuff that God was using as a process to rebuild me back to what I should have been.
Right.
He was teaching me to be humble and appreciative.
Right.
Eventually, I went back to church.
Mm-hmm.
My wife went back to church first, and she started taking my daughters, because we had both been on a Zulu, if you will, for lack of a better term.
Uh-huh.
And our life was jacked up big time.
Yeah.
You see, just to put it in modern vernacular.
That's
right. And so when she went back, I started to feel shame because she was going, and I'm going, now she's going, and she's taking the kids, and Mother's Day came around, and it was like, okay, I'm not going to sit here. I'm getting up. I'm going to church.
Yeah.
And I had been in the church for a long time previous to all this happening. So the very day I went back, I heard a message from the Reverend Eugene Barney, who was the pastor at Mount Herald Missionary Baptist Church at the time.
Yeah.
And I don't know everything he said, but I know he was saying it's the last days, and the judgment of God is going to fall upon the world. That was enough. He hit me like a ton of bricks.
Uh-huh.
I got up after he got the invitation, ran to the front, and I've been in the church ever since.
Right, right.
And loved the church. The church was the place to be.
Right, right,
you know?
Right.
And I wondered, how did you get along all that time without the church?
Uh-huh.
The church is beautiful.
Yeah.
The church is lovely. This is where you come in and you hear about the blessings of God.
Right.
This is where you come in and hear the provisions of the Lord.
Yeah.
Everything that He has provided. This is where you come to hear the word of the Lord.
Right.
And then you find out that there are two kingdoms in the world.
Right.
There's the kingdom of the world, which is operated by Satan. We're going to see that in our text here.
Uh-huh.
And then there is the kingdom of God, which is being built right alongside of it.
Yeah.
The kingdom of God seems to have a more passive stance in the world.
Yeah.
The kingdom of Satan seems to be domineering and overpowering in the world.
Yeah.
And so you and I have to gird up ourselves and learn about some of the secret things which are hidden in the house of God.
Uh-huh.
God has some things that you get only when you come to church.
Right.
There's a spirit of the Lord in the house. He is quickening the word of God, making it come alive to you. He's making it become a part of the way you think and the way you live.
Right.
He's building you up with His word.
Right.
Now notice this, Isaiah and many of the prophets of old prior to the coming of Jesus Christ also had the same type of sensation, even though what we have is even more glorious, and we'll see that as we move to the New Testament.
Right.
But notice his attitude here in Isaiah 64:1. He says, oh, that thou wouldst rend the heavens, that thou wouldst come down. That's what the saints want. God, just come down and stop all the foolishness.
Uh-huh.
Stop the madness.
Right.
Stop the people who hate you and slander your name.
Right.
Stop all the people who don't believe you.
Right.
Cut them off at the pass. That's the way we feel.
Right.
You see, Isaiah said, just come down right now. Lord, why don't you just open the heavens and get this over with? Because
right.
it's a mess here in this world.
Right.
With all the sin and the sinners who hate you.
Uh-huh.
You see, and it's not so much that he's doing this from the vantage point of his own personal righteousness. He knows that's not so. We're going to see that.
Right.
But God, why don't you get it over? God is his fortress and his shield.
Right.
He says, come on down. He says, as when the melting fire burneth, the fire casteth the waters to boil. He said, you can do all this because we've seen experience of it.
Right.
We looked in the Old Testament and we could see how you brought the children of Israel out of Egypt through the Red Sea on dry land.
Right.
How you came down and the mountain was burning with fire and melted down. He said, we know you have power.
Yeah.
And God wants you to just do it now. Have you ever felt like that?
Uh-huh.
You know, like John at the end of the book saying, even so, come Lord Jesus.
Uh-huh.
The Spirit and the Bride says, come. The invitations of God go on all the way down to the book of Revelation. But sometimes you just get weary with the stuff that goes on. Sickness, disease, children in trouble, all kinds of foolishness, robbery, stuff like my sister. mention there, folks ragging about shooting up people, don't right. understand the value of human life.
Right.
You see, and this stuff is frustrating to those who love God.
Right.
And so it was like that back then. It's been like that. Have you thought about it all the way back in Cain and Abel? One of them slew the other, right?
Right.
You see, there's been murder, the spirit of murder.
Right.
There's been people who have been opposed to God along the entire trip.
Right.
You can go through the whole Old Testament.
Right.
You see, it's no different. It might be worse now because we have high-tech centers today.
Right. Right.
You know, that are using high technology to do greater and more pervasive sin.
Right.
And so basically, that's always been that way. So Isaiah goes on here in verse 3. When thou these terrible things which we look back for, why don't you do some of those things that you did before?
Right. Right.
He says, well, for thou camest down, and the mountains flowed down at thy presence. And then he goes on to say, for since the beginning of the world, men have not heard. This is the problem. And
right.
I want you to tune in on this part.
Right.
Here. He says, since the beginning of the world,
yeah.
men have not heard.
Right.
They haven't heard. They don't hear the voice of God.
Right.
They're not listening for the truth.
Right.
You see that?
Yeah.
Since the beginning of the world. Notice
yeah.
that in verse 4. Men have not heard nor perceived by the ear. See, to hear is one thing. And to perceive by the ear is just the physical hearing.
Uh-huh.
But you need to hear way down deep on the inside.
Yeah.
You need to understand. When you hear something, if
right.
it just goes in one ear and out the other, as we say,
right.
there's no understanding.
Right.
But when you really hear it, it locks in and gets a hold of you. It becomes a part of your thinking process.
Right.
And that's the way things can help you. But Isaiah noticed, from the beginning of the world, people have not heard.
Right.
They haven't latched on to the truth of God.
Right.
They haven't dedicated themselves to what thus saith the Lord.
Right.
They don't even care. Like people like Cain, who slew his brother Abel, he didn't care.
Right.
And God allowed him to go on anyway, we know, as the story goes.
Yes.
So we can see it if we look at the history of Scripture.
Yes.
And neither has the eye seen. What God is doing may not be perceptible to the human eye.
Uh-huh.
Oh God, besides thee, he says here, which he had, and men have not seen, and if God didn't open it up to them, they have not understood
right.
what God has prepared
right.
for him that waited for him.
Uh-huh.
See that? We get anxious sometimes.
Right.
That's why the Bible says, those that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength.
Uh-huh.
They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary.
Yeah.
They shall walk and not faint.
Uh-huh.
You see, he that waits upon the Lord. So Isaiah knew this. He wrote
yes.
that down in chapter 40, the last verse.
Yes.
Thou meetest them, him which rejoiceth and worketh righteousness. See that there is a difference in the treatment of God toward those who rejoice in him and work righteousness, and that remember thee in thy ways. See that? Behold, thou art wrathful. We have sinned, even us, the ones who are seeking you. We don't live perfectly.
Right. Right.
We got flaws in our life.
Right.
We have sinned.
Right.
In spite of the fact that we acknowledge you, we know that you are God.
Right.
We exalt you. We lift you up.
Right.
We praise you, but we still have a struggle here
right.
in this flesh.
Right.
You see that?
Right.
Now notice what he says here, moving on. Verse number 6. There's so much here that we could get into. He says, verse 5, I'm sorry. Thou meetest him that rejoiceth and worketh righteousness, those that remember thee in thy ways. Behold, thou art wrathful, we have sinned, and those is continuance, and we shall be saved. He said, even though we continue, you have promised us that we shall be saved.
Right.
But we are all as an unclean thing. Who? The righteous?
Right.
Yes. Notice this. And all our righteousnesses,
yes.
notice that's in the plural, looks like it might be a misprint. But he says, anything man can crank out that might look or appear righteous, all of our righteousnesses
right.
are as filthy rags.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're not good enough.
Right.
We cannot live good enough because
right.
of the stain of sin
right.
that's in our lives.
Yeah.
We can't make God happy by the way we do everything
right.
ourselves.
Right.
You see, we are by ourselves, we could not be saved at all.
Right.
All of our works are like filthy rags.
Yes.
Even the best stuff that we do
right.
or is like filthy
right.
rags.
Right.
And we do all fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away.
Yes.
Now, that's kind of a picture of Psalm 1 where he said, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel
yes.
of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful.
Yeah.
But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his
yes.
law doth he meditate
yes.
day and night.
Mm-hmm.
And he shall be like a tree planted beside the rivers of waters.
Yes.
That bringeth forth his fruit in his season, his leaf also shall not wither.
Yes.
And whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. But the ungodly are not so. There are those two kingdoms.
Yeah.
But they're like the chaff which the wind driveth away. And so we see that same
right.
image here.
Right.
Our iniquities like the wind
right.
taking us away.
Right. Right.
And see, and it says, therefore the ungodly shall not stand and the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish.
Right.
And here we see, he said, our iniquities like the wind have taken us away, and there is none that calleth upon that name.
Right.
No one would ever call upon God if God did not quicken you and make you alive.
Right.
It's the work of the Lord, and that's why he gets the credit.
Right.
You see, one plants, another waters, but it is God that gives the increase.
Right.
You see, and now notice on here, as we wrap this Old Testament up here, notice he says, there is none that calleth upon that name that stirreth up himself to take hold of thee, for thou hast hid thy face from us. There is that hidden thing there, even with those who are seeking the Lord, and hath consumed us because of our iniquities. But now, O Lord, thou art our Father. We still recognize the fatherhood of the paternity of God, and we are the clay.
Right.
God is forming us.
Yes.
You know one thing about clay? When you put it on the wheel, it's just a big blob of clay.
Right.
You know what? Does it remind you of in the beginning when God picked up dust?
Yes.
It was just dust.
Yeah.
And he formed it into a man.
Yeah.
And then he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and he became a living soul.
Uh-huh.
See, it started off just dust. It probably looked like a pile of nothing.
Right.
Kind of like the clay on the wheel. Looks like nothing until you start to shape it, mold it, and bring it into some kind of a form.
Right.
You see that? Yeah. So he recognizes here that, Father, we are the clay and thou art the potter. In other words, we know you're working on us, shaping us into the men and women you want us to be.
Right.
And we are all the work of thine hands.
Right.
Be not wroth, very sore, he says, O Lord, neither remember our iniquity forever. Behold, sin. We beseech thee. We are all that people. So God is still working on us.
Right.
We're on the wheel. You're being formed.
Yes.
But you know what? I want to just take a minute at this point to encourage you.
Yeah.
It's a good thing to be on the wheel.
Right.
It's a good thing that God knows what he's making you to become.
Right.
It's an excellent thing. He's molding you into something you have never been before.
Right.
He might take and shape you one way and mold you another way.
Right.
And eventually, you'll come out and be the thing that God has desired for you to be.
Right.
You know, you can trust the Lord. If you're on the wheel, you're in a good place.
Right.
Just remember to be pliable in the hands of the Lord. Allow the Holy Spirit and the Word of God to minister to you and work in your life.
Right.
And don't let the world suppress you from who you are.
Mm-hmm.
They have a worse problem than we do.
Right.
If judgment were to come, if Jesus Christ were to come today, which is the next event on God's calendar, it would be a terrible situation for those who do not know Christ.
Right.
And you know what? On the other hand, I want to provoke you to realize how serious and dire their condition is.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You ought to be compassionate and merciful.
Yeah.
They're not your enemy. They're your mission field.
Right.
Those people who irritate you every day.
Right.
You have them at your job. You have them on your street.
Yeah.
And they're your neighbors. They're relatives of yours many times.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're not your enemies.
Yeah.
So get rid of that attitude.
Yeah.
And start to let your light so shine that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven.
Right.
Speak a word to them. If they come back and bite like a barking dog, don't worry about it.
Yeah.
Because God is greater. Greater is he that is in you. I heard a brother say this morning, and he who is in the world.
Uh-huh.
And they need the same touch from God that you and I got the day that we were saved.
Right.
Amen.
Yeah.
So keep that in mind.
Uh-huh.
Now notice this also as we look here. I'm going to bring you into the New Testament. Being hidden in the house of God, there's a lot of stuff here. And all the treasures and knowledge of God are hidden in Christ.
Yes.
And so you and I can find out stuff we never knew right here.
Right.
When you come here, come with expectancy, knowing that God's going to minister something to you that you need.
Right.
So since the beginning, I want you to know that the being of the essence of God is immeasurably most unsearchable by any human mind.
Right.
You and I cannot comprehend the measure of God, who it is.
Yes.
Or means by apart from God's intervention, there are also immeasurable number of things in the creation as well as in the Word, of which we could never comprehend without divine revelation by God.
Right.
Therefore, many are the things that are hidden in the house of God. A lot of stuff is hidden. You know, you should come in here expecting God to hit you with something new you have never received before.
Right.
And he will do it. He does it. That's how you got from where you were to where you are.
Uh-huh.
God unfolded a new thing to you, brought you to a new level.
Right.
And so this is the thing we have to understand. Everything from salvation to glorification are made available to all sinners who repent and believe the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Uh-huh.
and has been accomplished and paid for in full through the predetermined counsel of God and of the Godhead by the shed blood of Jesus, the Lord, Jesus Christ our Lord, who alone is the propitiation for all sin to everyone who trusts in Him. You have to remember that. God paid the debt for us.
Right.
It's not something we do.
Right.
I'm not paying the debt by good works or good deeds.
Right.
God paid the debt in full when He allowed His Son to be crucified on the cross.
Yeah.
So you don't owe God anything in that sense, in the sense of salvation, because He has afforded that for you.
Right.
It's His good pleasure to give you the kingdom, the
right.
Bible says.
Right.
He loves you, and He has given His Son to make each of us who trust in Him right.
Right.
That's the only way anyone can be right. It's by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. He paid it all. We sing the song, but sometimes we don't really think it.
Right.
And we start to think, well, you know, I did this or that. And so therefore God is going to spank me. Well, He may spank you, He may chastise you, but He loves you.
Right.
And He brought you this far for you to be a witness for Him in the world.
Right.
So look in the New Testament text here quickly. In 2 Corinthians 4, the Apostle Paul writing to the church at Corinth, probably the fourth time here, we call it 2 Corinthians. We don't have time to take up that argument today.
Right.
But there are other letters that we don't actually have as a part of the canon of Scripture.
Right.
But here we see, he says, therefore, seeing we have this ministry. What ministry is that? To go into all the world and teach all the nations.
Right.
See, you and I have the privilege to do that.
Yeah.
It should be a privilege. You ought to wake up with a smile on your face and say, no matter what I'm going through, God has spared me, blessed me, given me the knowledge of His Son. And if I trust in Him, I am complete in Him. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature.
Yes.
All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. See, every day is a new day.
Right.
And God has said, Jesus said this. He said, lo, I am what? With you.
Right.
Always, even to the end of the world. The world hadn't ended yet. Guess what? He's with you. He's with you every step, step you take.
Right.
So don't ever let the devil suppress who you are.
Right.
Realize who you are. Be bold for the Lord. Speak up and say what needs to be said.
Right.
If there's an occasion in your life. Paul says, therefore, seeing we have this ministry. That's what the ministry is to go into all the world and teach. To be a witness for the Lord. As we have received mercy. He said, we even needed mercy. This is the apostle himself saying that we have obtained mercy. He didn't get there by good works or good deeds. He met Jesus on the Damascus Road while he was en route to destroy the church.
Uh-huh.
You see, he was against the church.
Yes.
And the Lord turned him around, so he knew it was mercy.
Right.
He said, we faint not. In other words, we don't give up. We don't lose heart. We keep going.
Right.
But have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness nor handling the word of God deceitfully. There's plenty of that in the world.
Right.
We can write a book about the people who are using the word to trick people in the church.
Right.
Calling themselves the church.
Right.
But they are the apostate church.
Uh-huh.
They're falling away from the basic truth of God.
Uh-huh.
But by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Now notice verse 3. But if our gospel be hid, there it is again. It's cloaked and covered to people who don't accept and believe in Jesus Christ.
Uh-huh.
And even in the church, if we don't trust that God will do something for us, you know what Jesus said? He said, ask what? And it shall be given to you. Seek, and ye shall find.
Yes.
Knock, and it shall be opened. That's A-S-K, ask, seek, and K for knock.
Uh-huh.
If you just ask God.
Right.
You know, if any of you lack wisdom, James 1:5 says, let him ask of God, who gives generously or liberally to all and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him.
Right.
Doesn't make any difference. Have you been asking God to come into your situation?
Uh-huh.
You know, you ought to. He's waiting on you to.
Right.
When you do, He's going to move in and bless you.
Right.
You see, in the circumstances of life as you go through.
Right.
And so be in prayer. Don't let the devil stop you from praying.
Right.
A lot of times he'd like to make you think, oh, God's not hearing you. You know what you did yesterday. You know, the devil will whisper something to you to get you to stop you from praying.
Right.
But if I stop you from praying, then God's not going to, He'll hold back. God's not really holding back, but He's waiting on you.
Uh-huh.
God did all of this for a relationship.
Right.
He wants to have a relationship with us.
Yes.
You know, that's what our Christian life is. That's what eternal life is. John 17:3, Jesus said that this is life eternal, to know Thee, the only true God, is Jesus Christ, whom Thou hast sent.
Right.
See, knowing the Lord, that's what the relationship is. It's not an amount of time, it's a relationship.
Right.
Relationship with God, John 17:3. Now notice, He says, if our gospel be hid, it's hidden to them that are lost, and whom the God of this world have blinded the minds. You see, that is not the eyes, their mind is blinded.
Yeah.
That's why they don't see the goodness of Christ.
Right.
That's why they don't understand there's one way, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. Ephesians 4 or 5.
Right.
See, because their mind is blinded. They think that it's a good thing to accept multiple faiths. Haven't you been hearing that kind of stuff?
Right.
Except Christianity, you want to push that one out of the way. Anything else is okay. That's what the world will tell you.
Right.
See, why? Because our mind is blinded to see the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. And the only one that can take that blindness away is the Lord. But you and I have to be faithful to plant and to water.
Right.
In the meantime, don't let the devil suppress you and stop your mouth from doing what God has called you to do.
Right.
Now, he says here, whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves.
Right.
You see that?
Right.
But Christ Jesus the Lord and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake.
Uh-huh.
The ministers are there to serve you the word.
Right.
To serve up the truth
right.
to you. And we don't preach ourselves.
Right.
We preach Christ. He
right.
is the chief shepherd, if you will.
Right.
For God who has commanded light to shine out of the darkness hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ, of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
See that? So the same God who spoke and things leapt into existence is the one who has called you and me to be saved by his grace through faith in his Son.
Right.
So we have three enemies, basically, in conclusion, the world, the flesh, and the devil, and they work against the believer to hinder your progress.
Right.
Now, and the one I hate the most, and I want to just add this, is the flesh. People think the devil is our biggest problem.
Right.
No, he isn't.
Right.
The one I have more trouble with is the flesh.
Right.
You know why? You can't get away from it.
Yeah.
Right.
The flesh is there all the time.
Right.
That old nature crops up in your mind over and over and over, stopping you, and your own pride and all these kind of things stop you from doing what God told you to do.
Right.
So you have to learn by faith to override the flesh, but it is the world, the flesh and the devil that all come against the believer to hinder his progress and to cover and deny the insight and applications of God's revelations for the advancement of his kingdom on earth. That's their idea, to stop you from doing what God called you and has already made you to be. You see that? Thus amplifying the need for ministry to one another. We have to minister to one another.
Right.
Support one another.
Yeah.
Encourage one another.
Yeah.
Be a support for one another.
Right.
You know, the body of Christ has all kinds of problems within it.
Right.
But we have to minister to one another. Don't be too proud to let your brother or your sister help you overcome something.
Yeah.
So you can look back and give the glory to the Lord.
Right.
See, pride comes in, and as the Bible says, pride goeth before the fall.
Uh-huh.
And a hearty spirit before destruction.
Right.
Don't let that stuff stop you.
Right.
Get together.
Right.
Get rid of the smoking. Get rid of the sexual addictions. Get rid of all those things that you're dealing with.
Right.
You know, work together to get rid of it.
Yeah.
That's all you have to do. And the Lord is with you. He says, if two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst. Work with one another. And minister to one another's needs.
Yeah.
And then, so basically these kind of things amplify the need for ministry to one another and through the oversight of pastors, gifted to exhort and encourage believers as the journey continues in all the world.
Yeah.
So that's why you need the pastors, just to, as Jeremiah 3:15 says, that I will give you pastors after my own heart to feed you on knowledge and understanding.
Yeah.
And so we're here to provoke you, to stimulate you into doing the things that the Lord has called you to do.
Right.
So I just want to close with that, and this was the word the Lord gave me.
Yeah.
Think about all the things that are hidden right here.
Right.
They're in plain sight.
Right.
God has all kinds of things waiting for you.
Uh-huh.
And the stuff he's already done should be enough evidence that you know he will do it.
Right.
All you have to do is look back.
Yeah.
You have a record your own self. You can look back and see what God has done to bless you, to bring you from where you were to where you are right now.
Yeah,
so call upon him, and hopefully we'll get back together sometime in the near future.
Yeah,
amen.
Yeah.
And thank God for you. Amen.
Amen.
Thank God for the message. At this time.